Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers here with Putnam County Mayor Randy Porter, talking all things budgets. Budget committee did recommend to send a budget to the full commission for July, and we'll see if it gets approved. But we've been talking; it's been an easy budget year, Randy, and it's been we're thankful for that. We've went through the highlights of some of it. The big ticket stuff really we haven't gotten to yet, and that's our capital projects. I'll say this before I turn it over to you on an update on that. One of our focuses for the last 10 years have been, or 9 years, however many budgets we've done now, is to pay cash for things that we don't need to borrow money for and pay interest costs and closing costs and all that. So we've really beefed up our capital projects and a lot of that revenue sales tax, right?
Absolutely.
So we've had a plan, and I'll brag on you one more time before I turn it over to you. As soon as you came into office, you created a 5-year plan. Mm-hmm. You've updated that 5-year plan went ahead. You just didn't do 1 5-year and quit. We received it the other night, your new 5-year plan for 25 through 29. It's very clear of what needs to be done. You've surveyed the department heads, right, mm-hmm. to say this is what do you need, and they've given that list. So we're very well informed on capital projects, and therefore, when you survey and do that 5-year plan, what do you do after that with the request?
So we create a capital projects list that we present to the county commission of all the capital projects we need to do in that year. When you and I came into office, there wasn't any planning going on. I mean, I'm from emergency services. That's where my background was before becoming county mayor. And we were always planning. We were planning for the worst case scenario that could possibly happen, a propane truck turning over in the middle of town or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. a natural disaster. Well, when I came into the county, there wasn't much planning going on with just the county buildings and vehicles and property and all that kind of thing. So started this 5-year plan. Got a great group of department heads and elected officials. Everybody works together. We created this 5-year plan, and it took a few years. One thing we had to do was replace a bunch of roofs on mm-hmm. a bunch of county buildings and schools. And those first 2 or 3 years were tough. But then I think the commission saw that this 5-year plan was something that if they ever got started budgeting up based on that 5-year plan, it would make it easy going forward. And so that's what's happened. We bring that 5-year plan each year, an updated version of it. The department heads and everybody's looking out, trying to figure out what the big needs are, because we don't like emergencies and surprises.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
You know, you don't want to find out that in the middle of the budget year that the roof is leaking in one of the county buildings. Yep. It's tough. So we do this. We present it to the budget committee each year. And for the last several years, the county commission has been budgeting based on this 5-year plan, which then makes it easy, and we're taking care of these issues before they become big issues.
Yeah, and I think the foresight that you have put towards a plan and the elected officials, department heads, to you have them thinking about their needs, right? And
right.
having that, you know, three to 5 years out, or either 2 to 5 years out, that's important for the commission to understand where we're going. Last year, you remember the total amount, or for the year we're in now, what was the total amount we budgeted for capital projects? You remember?
Well, I think for actual projects was about $11.5 million.
But we're having to carry over.
We're carrying over some of those projects because of the supply chain shortage is still an issue. We couldn't get them all done, so we carried over some of them. This year, we're about $15.7 million, but a lot of that, it was carryover from last year. Mm-hmm. So our capital projects this year is only $5.79 million as far as the capital projects. And we're buying the sheriff's vehicles, EMS vehicles, and giving some money to the schools for capital projects. That adds up to about $9.5 million that we're doing this year, which is way down from what we've been doing in the past.
So some people may not be aware that counties across the state and, you know, probably across the country, I don't deal with those, but like, what's a fire truck cost? $500,000 now? $550,000?
Yeah, we're budgeting
that area?
About $550,000 right now.
Some of those counties across the state have to borrow money to pay for a fire truck, or borrow money to pay for 10 patrol cars yeah. for the sheriff's office. And when you're borrowing that money, again, you're paying interest costs, you're paying closing costs to do a loan. With this money in capital projects, we're paying straight up cash. We're saving
cash.
Us the money there. It probably gives us more buying power.
It does, and we haven't borrowed any money when it comes to these capital projects on stuff like that. We've been blessed that we have excess sales tax dollars in our budget each year, and what we do is we move that into these capital projects for the next year, and we're able to pay cash every year for this stuff.
One thing we have included this year, I believe, was a cardboard baler at the solid waste department, and I think you told us the other night it's about 25 years old.
25 or 26 years old. And we do a lot of recycling in Putnam County. And so we're bringing in $350,000 in recyclables that we sell. That cardboard and paper baler is a big part of that, a huge part of it. And so we had redone it until it just couldn't be reworked anymore. So we're replacing, and that's the kind of stuff we look ahead, because if that breaks down in the middle of the year, then all of a sudden we're either having to come to the commission to ask to buy one, or you're not selling your recyclables.
I'm going to ask probably a not-so-smart question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. When it comes to like a baler, how in the world does that get delivered to Putnam County? It's huge, right?
It's huge.
Does it come in pieces?
Comes in pieces, and they put it together when it gets here.
So they bring some big trucks in with pieces, they put it together, and so that's a big deal. Now, we sell those recyclable materials, and I remember a few years ago some counties were thinking that, and maybe they weren't trying, Randy, I don't know, they were just throwing their recyclables in the landfill because they wouldn't get any money for it. Has that changed?
Not on plastics.
Okay.
So that was the big deal. We used to be able to sell plastics, and now China quit buying plastics, and the market just kind of fell apart on that. So unless you have an operation where you can wash the plastics and clean them, there's just not a market much for them. We try.
Yeah.
We sell a little bit of it. Some of them we give away
just
to not put it in the landfill, but it's tough right now. Our big things that we sell is cardboard and paper right now.
Okay, and that's why you get the baler, so you can continue to do that, because it might cost $300,000 or $700,000 for a baler, but if you're bringing in $300,000 in 1 year, you paid it off and – Over 2 years.
And that baler lasts for 25, 26 years.
Yeah, so that makes sense. Before you go, we got a few minutes, but before you go, let's get an update on the fairgrounds and the new fairgrounds, I should say, off Tennessee Avenue. How much progress have we made?
We're getting close to seeing the finish line. It's been slow because a lot of those supply chain issues. The grandstand bleachers that we ordered was 18 months from the time that we ordered them to be able to get them installed. They're working on those right now to be installed. They're finishing up the paving right now. The new convention center, welcome center, is almost completed. We should be completed around the first part of September, which is going to be a huge gain for us to be able to bring in a lot of tourism and events to that area. We already got as I told you the other night, we've got a national event looking to come here already. So the midway's finished, the parking lots are paved. Now we have to put up all the lighting, street lights and parking lot lights and the arena fencing and all those kind of things. But if everything, as it looks right now, we'll have everything done where we'll have a fair there next year.
So plan is the fair will be at the old fairgrounds.
2025.
This year. Then next year, the first time the fair will be at Tennessee Avenue will be 2025.
Yeah.
Because that question's been asked to me. Are we having the fair at the new one? No, we're not quite ready. We wouldn't probably be.
Yeah, we would have if it hadn't been for the supply chain shortage and the shortage of contractors and everything to get a lot of the stuff done. That's put us a year or two behind, but it's getting real close now.
So do we have an update on the current fairgrounds about, you know, we're in a contract? You have any, still there, right?
Still there. We have all these developers that have an option for the VA clinic that'll go on part of it, and then we have an option from a Florida developer for the rest of it. Met with him a couple times in the last 2 weeks. They're moving forward with their design of the site. We're waiting to hear from the federal government on the VA. We're hearing that maybe we're one of two sites that's still in the running. Hopefully in the next 2-3 months that we'll hear from them and know if it's been chosen or not. And if it has, then we'll move forward with that pretty fast. And if it hasn't, I think the Florida developer is looking at, he just, you know, do the whole piece then. So it's a waiting game right now with the federal government.
And everything we've done at the new fairgrounds, we've been able to pay cash for.
We paid cash for all of it.
And part of that's been state. We had a state grant for the convention.
We've got several. We got a $2.5 million grant for the convention center and welcome center. We've got several smaller grants for the arena and lighting and all that kind of stuff. So I know we've had $2-3 million plus in grants for that. So it's helped, and we continue to apply for those to finish the project out.
When did you say the Expo Center will start construction?
As soon as we sell the old fairgrounds.
That's okay. I didn't know if you'd mention that at all. So that's the right, bringing that up for a reason. People keep asking, what are you going to do with the money for the old fairgrounds? Well, we're putting it into the new fairgrounds, right?
Yes, to build a new Expo
Center. We haven't
had
to do that yet because we've had grants, we've had cash, and we've had to do the infrastructure.
Right.
The Expo Center is going to be nice.
It is. The convention center is nice. You're going to be really surprised how good it is. Going to hold a lot of people. But the Expo Center is going to be the big attraction, that you have that huge space to bring all kinds of shows and events regardless of the weather outside.
And I think it's going to be, and you're the project manager on this, I mean, you know, it's the Expo Center. You're going to be able to have sports in there, basketball, volleyball, pickleball. It's very, it's multi-use, right?
It will be, and it'll have different floors we can put down and heated and cooled, so it doesn't make any difference what time of the year it is for those kind of events. We got a lot of folks that are just waiting, that are wanting to bring events here for us to be able to get that built.
And we do know, and you said this other night, that we have a couple of hotels interested in locating there. We don't, we're not releasing the names yet. I don't even know myself. But they're in negotiation with you and talking about how that looks. So, you know, the idea there is to not only have a convention and expo center and have events, but convenience for people to stay.
Well, that's it, Ben, because a lot of these events are in big cities, and hotel rooms and expenses in big cities, you go to Nashville and rent a hotel room compared to what you rent one in Cookeville. So they're wanting to get out of the big cities so their guests aren't paying high costs. So if we can get a hotel there, we got several hotels in Cookeville that we got 1,500 rooms right now that can be used. I think you're going to see a lot of folks move that direction because they don't have the traffic issues. We got plenty of restaurants to handle all the eatery and shopping and retail and all that. So I think it's going to draw a lot of folks once we can get it all finished.
I think that's great. Randy, thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. We've got a great update on Putnam County and the budget going forward to be approved next month by the County Commission. Folks, hope you have a great weekend. Always remember, it's a lot easier to smile than a frown. Make somebody's day. Be kind to one another. It's the only way to go. Just be kind to one another. Appreciate everyone listening. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Good morning. Welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. I am glad to be here with good friend and Putnam County Mayor Randy Porter. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Ben. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for being here. It's been a while, but we always try to get you on, especially this time of year, for budget updates. And Monday night, the Putnam County Budget Committee, not the commission, but the Budget Committee, concluded their budget work and has presented or sent a budget to the commission to be adopted in July. So, Randy, what did you think about this year's process? Just your perspective as mayor and being this this is the, well, I guess it's the ninth budget you've been in charge of.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best years. Well, it has been in the 9 years that I've been doing it. It was the best year budget-wise that I've seen. I think we set a record on the fewest meetings that we had to have. And a lot of that's kudos goes to you as the Budget Commission Chairman. Y'all did a great job. We had a good group of folks that seemed to work together good. But it was an easy year, too. Mm-hmm. Revenue was really good. We had, you know, quite a bit of money left over from last year's budget because all the new employees couldn't get hired. And so it was a fairly easy year, but it was a really really good year as far as not having a bunch of meetings and everybody agreeing.
Well, and I do want to bring up a couple of things from, you know, people's asked questions from last year to this year, and we'll talk about as much as you want to, and we can leave some stuff out just because of particulars. But this fiscal year that we're still in, the 24 fiscal year, we budgeted to be about $7 million in the hole in general fund, right? I mean, it was not something we were pleased about, but, and we raised taxes, as everybody knows, but we also knew that there's a chance that the budget wouldn't be spent accordingly as what was approved, and that's what happened.
Yes, it is, and you were hiring all these new employees to open the new jail addition and all the other departments, adding new paramedics and firefighters and all these new employees because our county's growing so much. But we knew there was no way that they would be able to hire that many employees, you know, whether it be 12 months of their salaries and benefits. So it worked out really well that we had several million left that we were able to carry over into this budget, which helps a lot.
Yeah, and I think the department heads, kudos to them for being frugal with their money.
Absolutely.
You know, because a budget is a guess. It's an educated guess on the front end, and it's a guide. It's what you're supposed to go by when you're spending money. And historically, Putnam County department heads and elected officials have never spent their budget completely.
No.
So I think I'm thankful for that. Like yes. But we budget with the way we budget based on trends, based on economy, based on what the needs are, and if they don't spend their budget, then we count it as a blessing.
Yeah, and it was a tough year to not do that because of all the inflation. The prices of everything is, I mean, it's unbelievable with some of this stuff of costs going up and what we're having to pay for the same thing that families are having to buy, gasoline and food and all those kind of things out there. And so we have those same issues, but they did a really good job, probably the best job this year that they've done. They always do a good job, mm-hmm. but this one was extremely good.
Well, I think they're mindful. They were. What happened. And then you got on the revenue side, you have everything that you and I practice budgeting conservatively on the revenue side because you just don't ever know what's going to happen from one day to the next with the economy. But we know that the Fed has the interest rates up, and so the investments, which we do have money in the bank, and that's on purpose for emergencies and for things that we don't know that could happen in a fiscal year. We have that savings or that fund balance. Well, that fund balance is in the bank,
right?
Drawing money, interest money.
Right.
So, Randy, what was the difference on what we budgeted and what we actually got in investment income?
We're going to bring in somewhere around $5.5 million in interest alone, and I'd only budgeted a couple million because who knew the Feds was going to hike interest rates as much as they did, as fast as they were. When we were doing budget last year, they started hiking, and they were still hiking, but you always think, well, they're going to lower them here pretty quick. And so you had Wall Street and all these financial experts expecting that the Fed was going to cut interest rates 4, 5, 6 times this year. They didn't cut them any.
Right.
So we continued to, on our reserves, to draw that interest, which made a huge difference in our revenue coming in this year. Not just interest. We had a lot of other good stuff happening with our revenues. Almost all the revenues were up this year compared to what we thought they would be. So we had a really good year in revenue, but that interest is what made the difference.
Year after year, Randy, what roughly, and I'm asking you this because I know you know, year after year, what is the percentage of property taxpayers that actually pay their property taxes?
99%.
Ain't that crazy?
It is.
99%, less than 1% delinquent in a county. I work in other counties and still do my new career, but in a different capacity. But for 19 years, I helped other counties do budgets, and we had to factor in that delinquent rate, mm-hmm. the amount of people that didn't pay their property taxes on time, because we're counting current year revenue for the current year budget, right? And you have them from anywhere from 10% to 5%, and a couple that are maybe 4. None of them are at 3. Like we budget at 3. Right. And I don't know if you remember when we first started this, I said, now, I told you and Steve Pierce, I said, now, guys, I wouldn't do 3%, but y'all proved me wrong. And you said we'll get in more than 97% of our current year property taxpayers. I think it speaks to what the people that live here and they want to do what's right by law. So
this just speaks to the community that we live in. We live in a great place. We have great people that live here, and it's been that way every year. We're 99% in that general area every year, which is great, and that makes a big difference too. But most people think that we're funded solely on property tax. Property tax is what, 28-30% of our budget. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of other revenues that come also that we have to count on. So it's very important to have the property tax paid on time, and our folks do a great job.
Yeah, I commend the people here and taking pride into doing their duty as a property tax payer. And then our sales tax is always good where we're at, located, and that's a big part of the budget. And so to sum it up for the current year, and we'll talk about the budget here in a minute for next year, but we're a week away almost, a little over a week away from the fiscal year being closed.
Right.
And so to sum it up, Putnam County experienced more revenue than anticipated and budgeted, and that's a good thing. It's always better to have it that way than the opposite, where you don't bring in as much as you budget, and that's happened here a couple times in the past, before that, that's happened where there's been budgeted higher revenue and it didn't come in. And then expenses were actually lower than what was budgeted, so we had a good ending in the fund balance. We put more money back into fund balance than we projected because we were projected to take it out.
Right.
And so we're putting it back in, and that enables us to do some things this next budget year, which we're going to start talking about right now, and we'll go over to the next segment. But bottom line is, we've had a good year.
We had a great year.
And we're thankful. And you and I had talked prior to last week's meeting when I first found out how good it was. I think you were holding on to make sure, right? You never want to say anything publicly when you don't know for sure, and you had known for a few weeks that you thought was going to be good. And yes, we talked, and then officially you're like, hey, this is going to be great. You told us last week at Budget Committee, this is where we're at, and everybody was just – we breathed a fresh breath of air, right? A lot
of smiles in that meeting. Yep. It's not always that way in Budget Committee. It's tough working through budgets and trying to come up with the final numbers, but this was a really good year for us, revenue-wise, money left over in the budget and everything, so it made it easier to do that budget.
I'm not sure anyone smiled last year during the budget process.
Last year was a bad year.
It was.
When you're having to hire so many new employees as we were having to do, and inflation was hitting us hard, and it was a tough year last year. You don't like those, but when you can go into a year like we did this year, and as it looks right now, no tax increase next year, we're doing good. It made it a lot easier.
And I'll say this, too, before we move on to this year. One of the things we did last year in the budget was give employees some raises, right?
Yeah, we had to.
We were losing them.
Yeah.
They were going to other counties. They were changing careers.
We were a training ground.
Exactly. We were a training ground. We were a stepping stone.
Right.
And we heard from our EMS director on Monday night. He looked at us and said, I do not have any vacant positions.
Fully employed, countywide. So you still got the sheriff is still, he had a lot of new employees to have to hire with jailers for the new jail addition. I think they've done rather well, better than probably what they thought they were going to do. But other than those few that he may still like to hire, otherwise we're fully employed with all the county offices and departments. Ben, I'm not sure I remember a time when that's happened, because we've always been that stepping stone training ground where we bring them in and get them trained and get them some experience, and then they're moving on to a bigger county or where they can make more money. Right now, knock on wood, we are fully employed with about 508 full-time employees in County General.
I think that speaks to what not only the commission has a small part of it. They're funding it, but it speaks volumes to the department heads and elected officials.
Well, those raises last year, we did the pay scale study, and the commissioner saw how far behind we were doing those pay scale changes, cost of living raise this year, changing the pay scale to where they top out sooner, made a world of difference. And now, folks, they're not leaving to go somewhere else. They're staying here.
Yeah, and even what we did last year, we were still behind.
But this year's really making a difference.
We've made a difference this year, and we'll get into that. So let's start before we break. I will say this. Let's just start with the most important question that everybody asks me and you when it comes to budget time. Are we raising taxes? Well, the budget committee said no.
No.
We're not presenting a property tax increase. And so that's the first thing the budget committee says. I can't predict the future. I'm one vote. Randy, you have no vote. You're just the mayor reporting everything. I don't see that changing with the full commission. It could. I'm not making a prediction. But the budget committee has said we can do our budget based on the revenue we have projected and the expenses we have projected. We can manage to get through fiscal year 2025 without a property tax increase.
That's correct. No tax increase needed. We're sitting well right now, and can't speak for future years, but not this year. I don't see any reason to.
No, and we never try to speak for future years, because a budget's year to year. You can't promise anything.
Right.
We can't promise then the commission next month in July what's going to happen July 2025 or July 2026. And so that's the state law. We can't budget from one year unless it's capital projects, and that's it. So anyway, I have Randy Porter. He is the Putnam County Mayor. We're here to talk about the budget and proposal by the budget committee. We'll be back in a moment after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers here with Randy Porter, Putnam County Mayor, discussing proposed budget that was approved by the budget committees that will be sent to the full Putnam County Commission next month in July. For final approval. Randy, we talked about how short of a budget cycle it was this time for budget committee. I think we met, what'd you say, five times?
Five times, I believe.
I think. And pretty quick, there was some requests, but the requests were not like years past. And so let's talk about some of the new things that's been approved by the budget committee. How many new employees did we budget committee decide to approve?
8 full-time and 2 part-time. So as folks may or may not know, the commission passed the tax freeze program for senior citizens that are on fixed income. That will be taking place next year. To handle all that paperwork and that whole process to be able to do that, the trustee and the property assessor had to have a new employee for the property assessor and two for the trustee. Register Deeds is trying to get all of the old record books that they've got to go all the way back to 1842 scanned in so that they're digitized on computer. So he was asking for a new employee to work on that, to help do that. Sheriff needed two part-time court officers for the new judge. We've got a new criminal court judge. Solid Waste Committee needed another truck driver. Our garbage needs continue to grow, probably in the 5 to 10% range every year. Needed to make sure we had another truck driver to be able to keep the trash hauled from the convenience sites. And then opening the new jail addition, we needed another custodial person and a new maintenance person to take care of. It's a large addition, help take care of the building. And then we just opened a new addition to the health department that was desperately needed, and the health department asked for a new receptionist to take care of that new wing that we just opened. So 8 full-time, 2 part-time, but all of those, when you start looking at how much we're growing and the needs that we had to have, pretty much had to have those employees.
Yeah, I think the presentations were good. The justification was there. The officials were transparent about why they needed it. You know, we talk about health department. Lisa Bumble has been there for 20 plus years.
Actually, 34.
I thought she's only 40 years old.
Well, she's been
hope she's listening.
She's been with the state. Yeah, you got your
kudos there.
She's been with them 34 years. She hasn't been the director for that long, but she's been a long
I
time.
I think in the time she's been director, which is a while, she's only needed 3 people total.
I think you're right. She is very frugal when it comes to operations, but their demand is growing tremendously. They've got doctors and nurse practitioners and dentists and just about everything you can think of there at the health department. And you get a lot of people that are taking advantage of that, a lot of them because they have to, because we're short those family doctors, private practice folks out there. They folks don't have a family doctor like
right.
they used to. So a lot of folks are taking advantage of the health department now.
Yeah, one of the questions I asked her at budget committee was, do y'all take walk-ins? Well, they take appointments because it's so covered up.
Just like a doctor's office.
Yeah. And so if you need to utilize the health department, you better call and try to get you an appointment, because they're covered up with people and then they need that new clerical staff. So we're hoping that helps them. But still, they're going to be taking appointments, and that's just how the health department's going to work, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way to be efficient. So
they saw 45,300 visits last year.
Golly, that's a lot.
That's just one health department in Putnam County.
That's a lot. So that's why I say if she never asked for anything, so she asked for it, she needs it.
She desperately needs
it. So that the budget committee considered all that and all the requests, and so we have the new employees, and you know, last year we approved 91 new employees. This year it's 8 full time.
Two part time,
so 10 personnel. And then of course some things that the elected officials got together on the last few months talking about education incentives. So we had an issue in the middle of the year that one of our officials wanted to give bonuses based on some restricted money through the state law that allowed this office to have more money, and they could give bonuses or raises. And some other officials said, well, how can we basically give our employees a bonus? And it's been a topic, but I'm not trying to bring in controversy. I'm trying to bring some light to that situation. That office had a law specifically designated for it to use restricted money for that purpose. These other offices do not.
Right.
So they're like, how can we, you know, incentivize our employees? And I said, you know, we all said education would be great. There's programs, educational programs. The County Technical Assistance Service has a program for anybody, officials or employees, to go through. So department heads come together. They put in their budget to give their employees education incentive for them to get training. Go to classes, attend classes that's put on by the County Technical Assistance Service. And so we put the – I don't know what the total cost of that was, Randy, but it was in the budget. Now, not everybody's going to go do those programs, right? But we have the money in case everybody does, to incentivize and encourage our employees to be more informed about not only county government but the function they're doing.
And to continue their education. You know, when we met department heads and some of the other elected officials – we were talking about, we just didn't want to give them bonuses, just to be given bonuses. we wanted them to do something to gain the extra, so the education incentives came up. So you're right. You go out and you get another certification as an office administrator or certified financial officer, like Chelsea in my office is our finance director, another college degree. I mean, we got folks that want to continue their education, but there was no incentive to do that.
Right.
And we well know the more education an employee gets while they're working, usually the better quality of work you're going to get in most of those. So, not a large amount. I think probably around the $60,000 range in the offices that asked for it total. And so these folks get the extra training, and then they get this extra money each year for taking that training and keeping it up to date if it's a certification.
Yeah, and I think it's always good. I'm always learning. I never know everything.
If we stop learning, we're in trouble.
Yeah, we stop learning, we're in trouble, and we learn from the history, and we learn from the past, and we try to get better. So I think it was good to incentivize the employees, because our employees do work hard, and I think it's another way to keep them, like you said, motivated.
Absolutely, and
wanting them to learn more. So and that was put in, and then the sheriff's office asked for education incentives for their people that have college degrees, and I think that's we support education and what these employees are wanting to do, and we want people to come work for the county.
Yeah,
and that's one of the things that attracts them to come work.
Well, and it's also kind of a pride thing too. I mean, these employees are proud that they went and got these college degrees or extra education, and so they're getting something for it. Now it's not a lot of money, but they're getting a little extra for it, and I think it improves their morale and everything in the offices and the departments. And we tried it first with EMS a couple of years ago. County Commission passed to where that those EMS employees, you can be a paramedic and you can have a college degree as a paramedic or a four-year degree, depending on how much you want to get. So we incentivize those folks with those college degrees, and it's worked really well. So now we're just applying it in a lot of the other offices and departments.
Yeah, so that was part of the increases we had. So new employees, education incentives. We had some other, maintenance is always a big part of our budget. I mean, there's so many maintenance issues every year we got to take care of.
Yeah, and the cost of maintaining the buildings and maintaining our vehicle fleet, car parts, vehicle parts have seen a huge increase in inflation. So it's more costly for us to try to keep all those vehicles on the road and keep all the buildings maintained. So we had to add some more money there. Overall, though, this year, probably one of the lower years for request than what we've had in the past. A lot of that was on purpose with the department heads trying to not ask for anything unless they absolutely needed it, so that we can make sure that we give the cost of living raises to the employees this year to try to make sure that we keep all those employees and we're not losing them.
Yeah, so great information from Mayor Randy Porter here in Putnam County, talking about the budget proposed. It's going to be reviewed and voted on next month. The Putnam County Commission will be back in just a moment.